Today, my guests are Lake Ponderay School District Superintendent Dr. Becky Meyer and Community Relation Liaison Darren Svahn. We'll be talking about the upcoming Student Safety Summit and other district news. Dr. Meyer and Darren Svahn, thank you for joining us today.
Well, I think if we start just timeline-wise, today's Wednesday, and Friday are our student-led conferences. That's my favorite time of year. The students get to share with their parents, take responsibility, ownership for their grades, their progress. They get to show their parents what goals they set in the beginning of the year, what progress they're making, and then what areas they still want to improve and grow for the remainder of the year. And it just teaches so many great traits for our students to be able to take that ownership and lead the conference. An exciting thing, Susie, that we've added this year is last year we did training for the 7th and 8th grades, so Sandpoint Middle School and Clark Fork Junior, and actually their senior high are going to join as well since they're a small school. So we are adding Clark Fork Junior Senior High School and Sandpoint Middle School. So K through 8 will be doing, every K through 8 student in the entire district will be doing a student-led conference first year.
So student-led conference, and as you say, it really helps the student build relationship with their parents. So the parents are partners in this educational journey and exciting journey that these kids spend a lot of their time in. How does it work? Is there training involved? As you kind of, I think you may have mentioned, how does that work?
Well, the training, I'll show my age here. My oldest daughter started it when she was, I think, in first or second grade, and she graduated from Sandpoint High School in 2014. She's like 29 now. So a lot of years ago, we were doing this in the district, and there was a lot of training in the beginning and annually. Now a lot of the veteran teachers are helping us train new mentee teachers. When teachers start in our district, we go through the process and explain it to them and really what the goals are, the why of it. And then there's lots of training materials and professional development that's been built up over the years. So teachers can share resources and materials with each other, strategies. This is what works. It just looks different than parent-teacher conferences. Its intent is not to give the report card and tell parents, you know, if they have a bad grade, this is what we need to do. Or if they have a great grade, this is how you can help, you know, add to their education. It is actually giving the reins over to the students and having them. There could be four or five or six conferences going on in one classroom at a time. And the teacher is just walking around, observing. The focus is all on the student and that connection with the parent. And then we have a checklist so the students will check off. Yes, I've showed them my math, my ELA. I've gone and shown them my favorite science experiment I've done this year. I've shown where my band room is. And there's just different things that each school kind of makes it unique for their own. And it's wonderful. Have treats and coffee for the parents. And Sandpoint Middle School and Clark Fork have little incentives this year since it's the first year. There's raffles for parents that if they go with their student, they turn in their little passport and then they get to be involved in a raffle to try to win a prize this first year to try to increase parent awareness of it and get parent involvement and participation up this first year.
How are you finding the participation on the parents' level?
Well, we took last year, again, it was only K-6 last year, and Sandpoint Middle School and Clark Fork did training last year on this date, but now they're putting it into practice right now. But last year at our elementary schools, if some parent misses because they're going to be out of town or there was some sickness, the elementary schools try to reschedule all of those. So we have a lot of elementary schools that are, once they complete that process, near 100%. And every single one is over 85%. At the lowest, I think last year was 88%.
So I'm really looking forward to it because it's my first year to experience this, and I've heard a lot from Dr. Meyer about it.
You mean as a parent?
Not as a parent, just as a, you know, working for the district and getting a chance to be in the classroom with those children. So I'm planning on visiting two schools. I'm going to be at Farman, Stidwell, and also Washington. So I'll have a first my first opportunity to kind of really observe it. But I also wanted to remind the district that the schools are closed on Friday except for those, you know, all our elementary schools are participating. And then we added, Clark Fork High School, and we added Sandpoint Middle School. But Sandpoint High School and Lake Pend'Oreille High School, those two schools are open and they're running their normal hours on Friday.
Yeah, and actually, just to change, which I'm sorry I didn't tell Darren ahead of time, but Lake Pend'Oreille High School is actually doing a internship program. Their students are going to be having a separate assignment, and their staff is going to be doing some staff billing. So the only school that is actually having classes as normal is this year is Sandpoint High School. Next year, we're going to continue to roll up and do expand this, and there will be no students in class on this day next year, so it'll be a school-wide, a district-wide non-student day.
So let me get this straight. Right now, the high school is not involved in the student-led conferences.
Correct.
But you're going to add that next year.
Well, they're going to be doing training next year.
Okay.
So we'll continue. It'll take a couple of years, but we'll roll it up. Uh-huh. We'll continue to roll it up, but we do need to give a day for training for the other staff. So,
you know, one of the things I noticed is when our children get into high school, oftentimes they're just kind of left on their own. And the communication network between parents, teachers, and the student kind of becomes a little more independent, we'll say. And that is actually a place where it's crucial for that partnership to remain strong and build.
Absolutely.
So you're pointing
by design, the parents start to release responsibility and allow their students to say, okay, you need to start taking in, your control of this and start making some decisions. But there is a great point you bring up. They still need that advisement from their parents. And with the parent involvement, with the CARE program there, Caring Adults Recognizing Excellence, that's that parent organization that's at Sandpoint High School. Stacy Temple helped me start it when I was there as the principal, and it's still going strong. That is a great organization that helps recognize and try to increase parent involvement at Sandpoint High School particularly.
Right. Okay. So that's the student-led conferences coming up this Friday for elementary and middle school.
I do want to say one thing quickly. Sandpoint Middle School is going to start on Thursday evening. So they are the only school that's doing this, which I thought was a great idea that their staff came up with. To start on evening is often easier for parents, mm-hmm. to start on Thursday evening, and then it'll be Friday until about noon, and then they won't have them in the afternoon on Friday. So we're going to test that out this year as well.
No lack of parent-teacher participation and partnership in our district. So that supports one thing, our students, right?
Yes.
So we've got a lot to cover here. What else do we want? Where else do we want to start?
So next week we have a really fantastic event coming up. It's our second year for our Student Safety Summit. That will be on March 18th. And I Dr. Myers really organized this well, and I think she has a lot to talk about in this particular topic. But yes, we're really looking forward to that.
So we really need to look at that Student Safety Summit. Is this your second year or third year?
Second year in a row.
Okay.
And so I guess we aren't supposed to really call it annual until you do it a third year.
Oh,
but
is that correct?
Okay. That's what I read. So, but it is it's going to be an annual event, and it's going to be focused always on student safety. So it's a Student Safety Summit. But really, it's a parent awareness forum. So it's really designed for parents. Parents are welcome to bring their students. A few parents did bring their students last year, but it is designed for parents to learn more information about the topic and then be able to have talking points and ideas for them to expand their communication with their student and also learn what are current things happening in the schools and with teen, adolescents, elementary mental health for students. So last year, Susie, we had two topics. One was fentanyl, and it was a big discussion about fentanyl. There was a student that did pass away in our community several years, about 5 years ago, and it really impacts our local community. And some people think, well, this just happens in big cities. It impacted the Sandpoint community, and it was really close to home for a lot of people, so that was an impactful piece. The other piece was social media, the dark web, some of the apps and things that were happening, really just talking about that happening with students. And parents sometimes don't know what's on the students' phones and what things are available to teens nowadays. And, you know, I shouldn't even say teens, because it goes down to whatever age level students have access to the internet, social media, cell phones. So that was a very hot topic last year. Lots of questions, lots of follow-up. I got a lot of parent requests to, can we please explore that further? So our secondary, which means 7th grade through 12th, our secondary think tank, which is a group of certified folks, which could be counselors, teachers, people that are interested in thinking outside the box and how to find an issue, a problem, and how can we address it as a district to make it better. So this secondary think tank really said, we would love to do a book study on the book called The Anxious Generation. Hopefully people have read it or heard about it. It's making a real wave across America right now. I tried to reach out to the author to see if he could come speak. I reached out to his research assistant and then his parent education coordinator. They are so inundated with speaking engagements that we had to create our own. But that's good news, because people across the country are becoming more aware.
So is that your theme this year?
This year, the theme is The Anxious Generation. And we're also going to speak just about the influence of social media, a phone-based childhood versus a play-based childhood, which is very important in this area. People who know me or have read The Loop know how important it is to me that we're talking to students, kids, our community about getting out into our beautiful area we have here, enjoying, like, we are so fortunate and blessed to live in North Idaho. And one of the reasons why is we don't have all the smog. We don't have cars back to back. We have beautiful mountains and lakes, hiking opportunities, fishing, hunting, skiing, boating. It's just a plethora of adventure awaiting our families here. And to get them off the phones and out in nature, it's so great for everyone's soul. That's my personal bias, yeah. But I do believe that we as a community really honor that and respect it. So I think this opportunity for our community to come together and hear, how do we make sure that we still are encouraging our students to get out, community kids to get out and enjoy this, get disconnect from their phones, and be able to do it. That's going to be a difference here that you maybe don't have in some of the larger cities. So we're going to concentrate on that book, exploring that to a deeper dive. And then the other piece is we also have Lonnie Whiteman, who is the she's a probation officer supervisor in Kootenai County. She's going to be speaking about sexting, extortion that happens in social media and connections people are making on these apps and some of the things on the internet. Something happened even recently with one of our students in Sandpoint that was extorted, and a family was extorted for money. So they can disguise themselves and start building these relationships online that you're not aware of. So she's going to be sharing with parents quite an awareness part and things that can rapidly dissolve into not a good situation and unsafe for students. I would encourage every parent to come, no matter how old your student is, even if they were just born. It's not too early to just get involved and increase the awareness.
Another good reason to get off the phone, get off the tablets, get off social media. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you know, this is the generation that grew up with all that. And we are now looking to see what that means, because my son is 38 and he didn't have any of that. He had picking huckleberries out in the woods for entertainment. Darren, you have something.
I just wanted to say, I mean, after listening to Dr. Meyer, you can see how important and powerful that event is going to be. So we really encourage everyone to come out, and just to remind them that, you know, there's no registration. You just need to come to Sandpoint High School, 5:30 on March 18th. And we're going to provide dinner as well. And then I think if Dr. Meyer didn't mention it, we're going to have childcare there as well for parents. And I think you were talking about it the other day, and I think maybe you already said this, but I just wanted to reiterate, it's not just for, teenagers, parents of teenagers. You're really encouraging parents from you know, all ages.
Absolutely.
And so that's what the evening's going to look like is, again, March 18th, 5:30 at the high school, I'm imagining.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, your next Tuesday, mm-hmm. March 18th. We do have an article that's going to be in the paper. I did send out a reminder to our parents, but every single parent, anybody in the community is welcome. You don't even have to be a parent. You could be a grandparent. You could be somebody that doesn't have kids, but you want to learn more about this and how to help us in a community. The book really talks a lot about it can't be single parents and single families trying to reinforce this because there's so much peer pressure that you have to really tackle this as a community. So I think it's important that anybody in the community come and hear how they can help support us in our efforts. It's going to be great. There is going to be a session. There's also going to be a question and answer panel at the end with teachers and a counselor. So there'll be anybody at the end can ask questions. And so it's going to be a great opportunity. 2 25-minute sessions and then the teacher and answer period at the end.
Darren.
Yeah. Oh, we just wanted to thank, we have a great community partner. We, you know, we rely heavily on our community partnerships and, you know, they offer so much help to us. And so
that's
Ednetics. Did you want to say something about
Yes. Thank you to Ednetics. They're helping to make sure that we can fund the dinner. We want to make it convenient for folks. So when you get off work, if you head over, Darren did put into the article, if you want to, we have childcare and there's going to be 10 high school students in there helping to take care. And last year there was 50 little kids that were in there. And so a lot of parents with young children took advantage and it was so successful. We're going to have more students this year and they're going to have hands-on activities, mm-hmm. not electronics inside there for them to play with. And they'll have food for the children as well. And if you come a little early to make sure and get some dinner and find a seat, and you know, if you have a child that you want to have put into the childcare program in the library, would be great. But we do want to thank Ednetics. They help us with our phones and some of our programs and hardware that we run the district on. And so they are really wanting to make people aware of the dangers and what safety steps that parents can take to help protect their families.
Just looking at last year, your first Student Safety Summit, and you said that it matters. It really matters. This is a picture of true community. We hear that word said many times, but what does it really mean to be part of that? And this is a perfect opportunity to support our precious children mm-hmm. in so many different ways, right?
There was near 300 folks, people that attended last year, and it was great turnout. I'm really hoping that we even go greater than that this year. It's such an important topic. So we really would encourage folks to attend next Tuesday, March 18th. Show up at about 5 o'clock, between 5 and 5:30. We'll start promptly at 5:30. And then you can have free dinner and free childcare and learn some really important things.
Where did the model for this Student Safety Summit? It sounds like something that did you just kind of come up with it?
Because it's in my brain.
You came up with it.
Yeah.
Just so, other districts.
It's not anything that's unique to me. I'm sure they do this throughout the country. Just the idea came to me. I heard Jess Stennett, who is an ISP, Idaho State Police Lieutenant. I heard him speak at one of our LEPC meetings, which is Local Emergency Preparedness Committee that I sit on, and we have a monthly meeting. Jess Stennett, Lieutenant Stennett, presented on fentanyl, talked about the student death that occurred and that had happened when I wasn't in the district. And I learned about it and it was just impacted by how much the fentanyl, how dangerous just a little teeny granule is and what it does to affect. So that's what spurred me on to say, I really want our parents to know more about this because I didn't know as much as I needed to know as the superintendent. So that started it. And then I also had done something similar at my last district where we talked about social media. And sometimes parents just aren't able to keep up with all the new trends and apps and looks like a calculator, but they're really getting on the secret apps. And then there's these new acronyms and abbreviations that mean things. There's going to be a whole session to talk about that and giving parents information. We will have a handout available. So I just encourage, there's going to be a lot of new information, and this is the way that parents can really keep up to date and feel free to ask questions in a safe environment.
who's hosting this event? I know the school district, but that's a lot of infrastructure. Is it the counselors and everyone, just a team of people?
Nope, it's just our district leadership, and the counselors will be there. I've asked all of the counselors to be there. I've asked the K-12 admin team, all the principals and assistant principals will be there, and also our CSOs, which are our campus security officers. We have three, funded by PAFE. Thank you to PAFE. And they really help build the One Trusted Adult. I've talked on the program several times about our One Trusted Adult initiative that started last year. And those campus security officers really have become integral to our success. And that's alleviated a lot of safety concerns by us building those relationships. So they'll be there as well. And I just really encourage people to attend.
Yeah, I think if you just have questions, I noticed, with my son, my teenager, his attention span continues to decrease just a little bit. And so this personally has been a topic that, I've been interested in. So if anyone has any, slight little question or, the aim here is to really empower parents to make sure that when they leave, they have information that can help them parent better.
So keep their child safe.
Safety is, Dr. Meyer's, utmost consideration. It's foremost for the district. So, just feel free to stop by and, grab whatever kind of information you can and, consider, we're going to definitely be trying to do it for the, for the third year. So we really want to see good turnout here.
Mm-hmm. So you really read the writing on the wall, what's up. And this time it's about the anxious student, anxiety is prevalent in our society, and what it does to even your body physically, and then the social media aspect and what's new on the horizon, so to speak.
Yeah. The anxious generation has, I don't want to share too much because I would love people to come in here, but there's a lot of data that's been collected, and in the introduction of smartphones and really where the decline, the positive is that they're, it helps us connect with each other, but the downside, we need to have some boundaries and we need to be able to help students still relate face to face and have an in-person life. There's a lot of research about loneliness and anxiety and how it has affected students' well-being. Again, as the physical I talked about also with getting exercise and staying healthy mentally and physically. Teen pregnancy has gone down, but the other factors have gone up. So a lot of isolation and isolationism. So we really want to be able to encourage parents to how can they help support their kids.
And no matter what, I would have a strong recommendation to have your child, get exercise, join a sports program. Doesn't have to be hyper competitive. Doesn't have to be varsity football or anything like that. But there's cross country, there's tennis, golfing. It gives them a place to sit, swimming. And, that really supports a child as they find their, negotiate their way through these teenage years.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So let's see. Good job on the summit. Sounds like a very important thing. And then what's happened in the school district in regards to how is it going in regards to kind of the changing climate in our funding source or however you want to put it? We know things are changing in the Department of Education on the federal level.
Right. So we really don't have any concrete, there's no news on concrete funding source. Now, we do know that yesterday, about 50% of the Department of Education federally was cut, laid off.
What does the Department of Education on the federal level do?
So let me tell you, let me just tell you how it affects our community. Uh-huh. That would probably be best. Okay. The students with disability, which is the special education, we in this district calls it the services for exceptional children. And they're students that that have an IEP, could have a 504, they may have a learning disability, any sort of disability that they need accommodations for to help them.
And IEP is Individual Education Plan.
Right, and it's an actual federal document. So that's one section that is funded by, and when I say it's funded by the federal government, they send funds for it. It doesn't even come close to funding what we need to fully fund in our district. we have about 15% of our students, near 15% are students with disabilities, students with IEPs that need some accommodations to help in their learning environment. And it doesn't come close to funding that, but they do send some funds for that. They send some funds for our Title I programs. That is based on what our free and reduced numbers are in our district and at each school. And they will help with reading. They really want to be able to help with foundational reading. And it can help with some math as well. But we have focused on reading in our district to be able to help students, every student graduate a reader. That funding comes in for that. And there are staff people that are at elementary schools that are funded through Title I funds specifically. And then the child nutrition, our lunch program is funded through this as well. So there is quite a bit that comes through the federal government, through the state, into our districts. Now, I know that our state superintendent, Critchfield, has signed on to I think there were 16 other Republican governors that have asked, that are in support of disbanding the Department of Education, but saying, if you send us the funds to the state level so that we can more efficiently disperse the funds accordingly throughout our 115 districts and charter schools throughout public charter schools throughout the state. We don't know where there's at yet. We haven't had any concrete advisement except for just be ready. If it does disband, the federal government has said they want to continue the programs and services so that we aren't going to see any dip in service here. So I just don't know for sure yet what's going to happen, but looked like yesterday maybe was one of the first steps of that.
The Department of Education on the federal level, do they legislate new rules to help support these students, kind of laws that protect?
Yes, there's protection there, and there's also like Title IX and sexual harassment, discrimination, all the Title IX, OCR, Office of Compliance and Review, is all through that federal side.
So that would come back to the state, and the state then would hold that intention.
That's my understanding, mm-hmm. But again, that's not hasn't been a concrete directive that we've been given advisement on yet. I think a lot of folks are really in limbo right now, Susie, just waiting to see what's going to happen.
But if you, this does remind me of this discussion, and I wish I had the date, which I don't, but you know, you can check on our website and we'll have more information about it. But if you have questions of Superintendent Critchfield, I believe she's going to be here in April. Is that right, Dr. Meyer?
Yes, but I can't remember the date either, Darren.
So we have an event. I think it's going to be at Farm and Stidwell, which involves the SEC parents. Yeah. So it's a Idaho Department of Education program. So we don't have a lot of information on it.
I think it's the week of March 24th. Maybe it's April. March 20. Anyway, we'll have it on our website. We do have parents of students with disability that are going to be invited. She is, Superintendent Critchfield is piloting a parent mentoring program for students, for parents to be able to navigate. It's a very intricate process to have a student that needs help, and they are have an individualized education plan, an IEP, as you said. We need to make sure that we're providing supports for that student, and so that they're not an educational disadvantage. There's so many layers to this, and legal compliance issues. And sometimes parents, if they're new to this, they don't feel that they have the advocacy. So she's starting a parent advocacy program in the state. And she has asked us in our district if we would be the first one in the state to pilot that. Dr. Joy Jansen is our director, and myself work with Superintendent Critchfield. So yes, we would love to do that and help our parents in our community. Dr. Jansen is very good at working with parents and helping them advocate for their student. But this one will help them parents link up with other parents who've been doing this for a while so they can mentor and be a liaison and sit with parents in IEP meetings to help navigate the process.
I know where you can find the information, though. So we will push out all of that, you know, the dates and so forth, in the loop, our district newsletter, which comes out at the end of the month.
And where is that located?
Well, you just have to contact me if you want to get registered, you know, to have it, receive it monthly. Or you can go to the district website, and we have a link there at the bottom, so you can click on that as well. So, yes, it's very informative, and this event will definitely be part of what we talk about in next month in the April loop, yes.
So how do they contact you, Darren?
Through my email, darren.svan@lakepostd.org. If you have questions or you want to get, you know, that newsletter on a monthly basis, just send me an email and I'll get you registered.
So do you hold the intention of the loop? Is that your creation?
It is.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
April 16th,
okay,
Wednesday. I just found it in my calendar.
Okay.
Wednesday, April 16th, parent partnership with Superintendent Critchfield. And this is the pilot project, the first one in the state. It's Wednesday, April 16th, 5 p.m., at Farmingstead-Well Elementary School.
And this, again, is the superintendent of education
for the state of Idaho.
State of Idaho coming up and talking really how to navigate the program for students with needs.
Yes. Students with special needs. And in our district, we call it Services for Exceptional Children.
I just want to remind the listeners here at 88.5 KRFY, this is your community radio station. And we are speaking with Dr. Becky Meyer. She's the superintendent at Lake Ponderay School District and community relations liaison Darren Spahn, also from the school district. We're talking about a lot of different things. At some point in time, I want to see what's happened so far this year and what's coming up. But our main subject is the Student Safety Summit that's coming up
Tuesday, March 18th.
There it is.
At Sandpoint High School at 5:30 p.m. Come at 5 to get some dinner and free childcare.
And this is an important partnership in my mind between people who care about our children. Regardless of if you have 10 children or no children, you can be part of that support in our community. A strengthened community in this way is an asset for everyone. So we'll kind of come back to that, but how is the school year? What you want to talk about something, Darren?
Oh, we went through a very interesting accreditation process, and we wanted to congratulate Southside Eagles. They just won another 5-year accreditation, and I think Dr. Meyer can talk a little bit more about that. But they're a STEM designated school, and they're rock stars out there. They're focused on science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we just want to make sure that we recognize the hard work of all the teachers and administrators out there.
At Southside.
It's very intense. It's a huge accreditation process. I will say that they became accredited right before I came back. They just finished the 5 years, and now they're just got accredited, like Darren said, and it was a huge process. But they were the first elementary school in the entire state to be designated as a STEM-accredited elementary school. So that's a huge feather in their cap.
So being accredited, what is the benefit to that? It just shows their astuteness in being able to provide this method of education?
It is like being able to say, yes, we show that we're at a certain level of rigor and that we have had compliance to all the things that are required to be a STEM designated school. Like I said, it's very robust process. It is not easy to get it, and it took a lot of hours and hard work. So we do want to congratulate them. I also do want to congratulate Sandpoint High School. Just completed their accreditation, just got final okay last week, and their score was 331. They didn't keep score when I did it, so I have been through several myself as a principal, but it was a very high score. Anything over 300 is on a great trajectory, and the principal there, Jackie Crossingham, just was very pleased with all of the work that her admin team and teachers and ILT team did as well, and district leadership helped support that. They are also then going to be accredited now for 6 years. They increased that to 6 years, she said. So congratulations also to the Sandpoint High School Bulldogs.
So when you say they're accredited, what kind of process or what infrastructure do they have that makes it so special and really providing education?
Actually, a comprehensive high school needs to have accreditation, Susie, or when you apply to colleges or post-secondary training, you need to be able to check off that your school is accredited. It's just a level that is required of proficiency and rigor, and you have to have certain systems in place, and it needs to be able to make sure. It'd be like looking at an airplane, and is it pass all of the measures to be able to take passengers and get up in the air safely and make sure we get to our destination. This is the same with schools. And we need to make sure they have everything in place that's going to help, you know, are our teachers qualified? Do we have systems in place to keep track of kids? Is there safety? What's our curriculum look like? How are we assessing students? So there's just a plethora of information that they have to prove to the accreditation body that we are meeting those standards and beyond.
On the curriculum level, what does that mean as far as, keeping up with current
standards from standards, the state. Yes, there's the current standards that have been passed by the legislature, and we must make sure that we are following those standards, teaching to those standards, assessing, you know, making sure our students are growing in those standards and meeting mastery by the time that they receive a grade and then graduate.
Proof.
Yes.
In a way.
Evidence.
Support.
Yes.
Evidence.
Yep.
I think the Sandpoint boys wrestling team, to the point that Dr. Meyer is talking about, I think they just were recognized as academic state champs. So we definitely want to...
So you can be in sports and get good grades.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, and last year, girls basketball, and there was a girls soccer, and then there was a boys tennis, I think. There has been several teams that have won. And again, only one gets recognized in each sport. This is a huge accomplishment, huge honor for our boys wrestling this year to get the academic state champions.
Sandpoint is a great school. I'm always blown away by all the programs and things they're doing there. They just added junior ROTC within the last couple of weeks. They signed the paperwork to open this program there. So it's going to be, you know, for North Idaho, it's going to be a game changer for a lot of students that, you know, are looking for something like this.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it develops character. It develops personality. I mean, it's a program that challenges kids and helps them prepare for whatever is after high school. It could be, you know, going into a career, going to college, or, you know, perhaps even going into the military. But their goal is to, you know, create citizens and develop strength and character with these young people. I think it just fits perfectly for North Idaho. And so I also believe they hired the instructor.
Yep. Kyle Olmsted was hired, and he is going to be our instructor in building the program. We had a lot of student interest. We did interest from 8th grade families on up through 11th grade. It is a four-year program, but they're going to allow the seniors next year and juniors and 10th grade, the 8th grade that are going to be in 9th grade will be able to have the opportunity to do the entire four-year program. And they have a lot of extracurricular. They have, you know, things they do at archery and different shooting exercises and
a certain level of discipline.
And
keeping your grades up to stay in the program, I would imagine.
Leadership, building good leaderships for the future. This is just, and they say it's not, you don't have to go into the military. It's just building good student leaders and character, self-discipline. It really is going to be a great program. We're only the second in the entire state for this Army JROTC. Kyle Olmsted has been working on this. He is in the military. He served in the military, and he has been working on this application since I got back here, 2.5 years until this was finally approved, and we finally did student interest, saw the interest, huge interest in our community, and we were able to put it into the master schedule at Sandpoint High School, secure the funding, and be able to promise that we're going to offer this next year.
So Kyle, he brings a unique set of skills actually to this, to being this instructor, because he has a background in math and he teaches
engineering.
He has a background in engineering. And so part of JROTC's extracurricular is STEM related. They have STEM related competitions. They run drones. So he's really going to have a leg up, you know, offering those particular programs to kids who are interested in that type of thing. So, you know, congratulations to him. I know it was a lot of hard work, and we're looking forward to seeing them out next year marching around in their color guard, and yes.
Starting the process. So just what does ROTC stand for, and how did the funding come about?
It's Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps. And so it's the junior ROTC that you see at colleges and universities. The funding, the Army provides the funding for that. I won't get too much into that, sure. But as far as equipment and uniforms and all of those, the Army is going to fund all that. Okay. So if we have air rifles or if we have drones or we have other types of programs that we're running, the Army is going to provide all the funding for that.
So, and the Army, I'm sorry to interrupt, Susie, the Army does also fund half of the instructor, so half of the salary. Eventually, as you build the program, you have 3 years to build the program up to a full capacity for the Army to continue help with funding, which I don't doubt in this area that we will be able to do. So we're just really excited about it. But eventually, you do need to have two instructors for the program. We're going to start with one with just Kyle next year, but then build it into two instructors, and they pay for at their salary schedule, which isn't ours, so it's not quite, just to be transparent, it's not quite half the salary, but they do pitch in a little bit for that. And the way the other funding comes through our salary-based apportionment, if enough, we run a student-centered master schedule in this district, so if enough students are interested, then that program is offered as an elective. Obviously, they still have core classes that are required for state graduation, but this class will serve eventually as a CTE-required course that our district requires to take, so that will eventually be funded partly through that as well. So it's just an all-around great comprehensive program for students.
And this starts next year?
Yep, it's starting in the fall.
And so how do the students and the families find out about this?
Well, they found out about it in registration. They have what's called at Sandpoint High School forecasting. So in February, they did what kind of things are you interested in, gathered all the information from Sandpoint Middle School eighth graders all the way up through the juniors, current juniors at Sandpoint High School, gathered all the information, and then they start to put into place what they think a lot of student interest is. Then they did, in March, they did the forecasting where you sign up and you register for your classes for next year. And then that's when they start to build the master schedule and say, how many teachers need to teach this, what periods? And it's a big, huge computer program that figures that all out.
We hosted several, forums and community events for parents, and those were really well attended. And I think it demonstrated how much interest there were in this particular program.
I'm sure it was in the loop.
It certainly was.
And if folks are interested in getting on that mailing list, they can contact Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N dot Svan, S-V-A-N, at
L-P-O-S-D dot org.
There you go.
Yep. Or you can look on our website as well. So you don't have to be a parent to get the loop. You can certainly sign up to have it sent to you. I do want to just reinforce that one great thing about our district, it's a real student-centered district. We want to make sure students stay engaged, interested, high attendance. We have one of the highest attendance rates in the state. And I think it's because we really do work hard to try to ensure that students like to come to school and are interested in the classes they're taking. This is one of those examples. We don't just create classes for students to take that teachers are interested in teaching, but we want to know what students are interested in taking. So that's one thing we're going to be working on in the future for anyone out there that wants a tax donation and wants to be able to help the school district. Culinary arts. We did have some culinary arts, and that teacher retired. We have some new opportunities coming, and we'd like to expand that program and create a CTE, culinary arts program, where people are learning to cook, be a chef, work in that industry. And we're looking to renovate one of the current spaces we have at Sandpoint High School and make it an actual industry standard culinary arts program. So that is going to be one of our next things we're going to work on with our CTEC, which is Career Technical Education Center. I'm going to let Darren tell you about an exciting new thing coming up with that.
That's right. Tell us, Darren.
Well, we just wanted to invite the community on June 9th at 9:30 a.m. at the high school. where CTEC of North Idaho will be located. I think there's, you know, the opening date will be, go ahead, Dr. Meyer.
Well, we're hoping that it takes a year to do, so it could be as early as January of 2026. But it, depending on, you know, how the season here with building, there's sometimes mud, snow, ice, sleet. So depending on that, at the latest it will open would be the summer of 2026, and then it would open fall of 2026, so programs would be able to move out into CTEC to start that 2026-27 school year.
So we've been out in the community, Dr. Meyer and some of the other district leaders have been out, you know, really trying to build partnerships with our local industry. So, you know, this would be a great event for anyone who has any interest in, you know, what we're doing, you know, workforce training for high school students and the development of this new center, to show up to our groundbreaking at 9:30 on June 9th. It should be an interesting and exciting event. We'll have some stuff going on that day, and we'll be, you know, having a networking opportunity to talk with some of the administrators and also talk with other, you know, industry that are currently participating with the CTE program. So that's a lot to look forward to. It's a wonderful opportunity for kids, and I know that Dr. Meyer put a tremendous amount of effort into this, and it was
getting the funding creating the program,
right,
and the importance of the program.
Just so your listeners know, Susie, if you aren't familiar with CTE, when we were younger it was called Voc Ed,
right.
And then it went to PTE, professional technical, and now nationwide it's called career technical education. And what it really means is hands-on, relevant industry standards. So it can be in computers, computer science, it can be welding, residential carpentry program, health occupations. My two oldest girls both went through the health occupations. When you're done, you're certified as a CNA. They both chose to go on to a four-year nursing degree at universities, and they're both RNs now. But I have several students that were a CNA and went right to work when they graduated. Some went to a two-year nursing degree. So this opens up opportunities for students to experience hands-on, relevant, just really engages the students in the learning, and they get to try out different careers before they go on to their post-secondary options.
I think the key word is industrial standards. It's not just, let's make some cookies.
Yeah, industry standards with health, you know, welding. They do things where they partner, like Darren was saying, with industry in our community. And they really make sure what is the current industry standards that you must meet. And they get certified. And it's a really great opportunity for North Idaho. We are also looking at trying to expand and have a forestry and sawmill and partner with Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust with their sawmill that they have there. We're looking at building automotive, small engines, marine mechanics. We're looking at building that program out. We're going to have the space, but not the equipment. So we're really going to start to try to create these partnerships with industry in our community that want to help build a workforce. Dyer with aerospace and the engineering and mechanical issues and engines there. So we have a lot of opportunities to build this.
Is that the helicopter place?
That's the airplane place. Okay. We went and did a tour there and talked to them. So we're just looking for opportunities, and there's going to be a dental assistant opportunity that's coming up as well with the Workforce Training Center is opening that.
A physical therapy would be a good one. Yeah. Everyone needs that.
Well, guess what? We have a sports medicine athletic therapy program that's starting in the fall. So there's already starting that program in which physical therapy will be integrated into that. Mm-hmm. So we are starting that as well.
So there's a lot, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the community, a lot of business owners, a lot of industry leaders here that have interest in this, and they just don't really know how to, you know, be a part of it. Again, I'll just say this is the great, this June 9th moment is kind of a kicking off point for us.
We're serious about this. We're going to do this.
Yeah, it's a good time to you know, show up and participate and get some of your questions answered and find out what you can do and how you can, you know, be a part of this with us as we grow it over the next, few years. So I just want to encourage those individuals who have questions and interest to definitely be there And we'll make sure we reach out to them. We stay in contact with those individuals.
Right. And reach out before then to the district office. Reach out to myself and Darren or Alex Gray at Sandpoint High School, who helps direct CTE, if you want to be interested. And we'll be reaching out also. I do want to say, when you said we're serious about this, just as a reminder, we did write an ICRS grant, Idaho Career Ready Students Grant, and the governor had put $20 million towards that and then gave another $20 million based on recommendation from Superintendent Critchfield. We did get the third round. We finally got the grant. Got reduced quite a bit, but we got $3.5 million from that ICRS grant. So that was
congratulations.
It was a very big deal. Our district is actually putting in just about $1 million also to be able to make this come to fruition. So we have commitment, and we're dedicated to building this program out for our community.
I think the relevance and importance of this is evident.
So. Yeah. And one more thing just to add, when Darren said CTEC of North Idaho, any student is going to be eligible to come here. It could be Bonners Ferry, Priest River, homeschool students. It could be students at the charter school. Anybody who wants to be able to come to CTEC is going to be able to have that opportunity should the space be available.
I was curious if we were going to be able to fill an hour here.
No, we still have things to talk about.
So finish up, Darren.
We have some more time. Is that what you're saying?
We have about four minutes.
So just to remind parents that enrollment registration is currently underway. So all the great things we talked about today in the district, don't forget that we need you to register and get enrolled for next school year.
And so how do they do that?
Well, you just go to our website, the Lake Pend'Oreille School District website. It's easy to find. And at the top, there's a banner at there. You just click on that, and it'll give you all the registration information. But in addition to that, we're looking out for our youngest, our newest families, kids who are getting ready to come into kindergarten. They have what's called the Kindergarten Roundup. That gives a different kind of opportunity to be able to get registered. So on March 25th, whatever is your local school, you show up between 8:30 and 11 a.m., that's the first slot, or 12 to 12:45, that's the second slot. Show up with, I don't think you have to bring your children, you don't have to bring your child, parents can just show up, and they can register in person at their local school. So that's another great event called the Kindergarten Roundup, March 25th, or go to our website, and you can find all the information there about how to get your child registered.
If they want to bring their child, this is an opportunity for them, if it would help alleviate anxiety, or the student wants to see where they're going to be going to school. If they're a firstborn and they have, they don't have older siblings, that's an opportunity for them to go to see the school as well.
Do you have one more thing, Darren?
I just wanted to thank PAIF again, one of our biggest community partners, and they have an event coming up on March 22nd at Farm and Stidwell. They're Ready for Kindergarten event that they do. How many times, do you know, how many times a year?
Twice a year.
Twice a year, okay.
And PAIF stands for Panhandle Alliance for Education.
Absolutely.
And they do all this fundraising for you.
Yes,
they do. For our children, right?
Yes. They fund the community relations liaison position as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I have a feeling, because we haven't even gotten into what's coming up with graduation and things like that, I think we should have you back at some point in time, maybe end of April, 1st of May, just to kind of wrap up the school year and see how did everything go that we've talked about today. A shout out to your Student Safety Summit that's coming up again. Just give the information.
Tuesday, March 18th, 5:30 p.m. We'll start promptly then. There is going to be dinner and childcare free provided, thanks to a donation by Ednetics. So we'd love to have you come anywhere after 5 o'clock to just find a seat, get some grub, and participate in this great opportunity.
At the Sandpoint High School Auditorium Commons.
Right? Commons.
Yep. Yeah, the Commons. Okay. Anything else, Darren?
Not tonight. Just reminding everyone.
Yeah,
just reminding everyone about enrollment and also some of the other events we talked about. And congratulations again to Southside and also Sandpoint High School.
A lot going on in our district. It's great. We have wonderful people like you folks holding down the fort for our children. So thank you for the work you do. It's essential and it's wonderful. So Dr. Becky Meyer and Darren Svahn from the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, Superintendent and Community Relations Liaison. Thank you for coming in today and sharing what you did.
Thanks so much for having us, Susie.
Thank you.
Okay, so folks, just quickly, if you didn't get to hear the whole interview, you can go to our website at krfy.org. It will be a podcast later up in the day. And thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. We're going to go out with a song by Joni Mitchell, A Case of You, O Canada. And thank you.
Before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada.